when I was asked, to take the service this morning, the theme is a church that listens to God, I immediately thought of King Asa, went to look at Asa's account in 2 Chronicles 14. But then I thought to myself, we are now in a new era. We in the generation when the Holy Spirit has come upon the church. And so there are gifts that God has given us for everything that we need. Everything that we need, God has already made plans and supplied for our every need. In this era that we're living in this arena of the Holy Spirit working within the church, as a church here at Long Buckby, we need to hear what God is saying. We need to be open to God, open to the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. And I bring this from my heart. And just pray that God just ministers to us. So first of all, King Asa. I love the early life of King Asa, because there's so much there that I yearn for myself. I've been disobedient in many areas. In many areas, I've failed to hear God when God spoke so clearly. I thank God for the times I get it right, but I got to put up my hands that many times I get it wrong, but a few times, praise God, I get it right. King Asa was in line of the kings of Israel who obeyed God at the beginning of his life, but in the end, disobeyed God. So we're going to just look at that part of his life when his early reign, when he was so obedient to the Lord. After the battle of the Ethiopians, Judah returns victoriously, and are met by the prophet Azariah, the son of Obed. This prophet says to King Asa, "King Asa, God, listen to me, all Judea and Benjamin. The Lord is with you when you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you." Asa was a young man at that time, and he took hold of God's message. And he did some amazing things. He brought about change in Israel. Where they had wandered away from God, he brought Israel back to God again. He reformed the nation in every way. Listen to some of these reforms. In the countryside, he removed the foreign altars, the high places. He smashed the sacred stones. He cut down the Asherah poles. He commanded Judah to seek the Lord and to obey his laws and his commands. He didn't ask them. He commanded them. In the towns, he removed the high places and the incense altars to foreign gods. He pleaded, "Let us build up our towns. Let us put walls around them with towers and gates and bars." So they built and they prospered and they lived in safety. His early life is just amazing. And if you'd like to read that chapter 14, 2 Chronicles 14, I always find Asa's young life an awesome blessing, and so much warning about his afterlife as well, when he had turned away from God and stopped seeking after God. Well, in chapter 14, verse 7, of 2 Chronicles, it says, the land was still ours because we have sought the Lord our God. We sought him and he has given us rest. So the blessing of all the reforms that he made brought peace and joy and blessing and prosperity on the land. And he accounts for all this as to the Israel seeking after God. He says, it's because of that that we are enjoying all this now. Because of that, we're enjoying all this now. In chapter 14 again, and verse 11 following, he says this, when the Ethiopians of 1 million men came against Israel, they had half that number. But Asa, King Asa went against them. Asa called on the name of the Lord. Lord, there is no one like you to help the powerless against the mighty. Help us, O Lord, our God, for we rely on you, and in your name we have come against this vast army. Hallelujah. Oh, can you imagine that, eh? I know the story of Daniel and you know, so many characters in the Old Testament that just bless my life so much. But here we see again Asa just standing up because his faith is in the Lord, relying totally in the Lord for everything. You know, when I was younger, I used to get a tikkie. And a tikkie, for those of you of my age, was an old 3-pence piece. Well, you know, my mum gave us that as our pocket money. And I would save that up. And I'd go buy a vest that I needed. And, you know, I'd pray and I'd ask God. And I'd go to a shop and they'd all be too expensive. Can't afford it. And then I'd go to another shop and another shop. And then suddenly I come to a place where the vest is maybe reduced on sale or something like that. And I've got just enough for it. You know, I really believe this, that God is interested in every aspect of my life and your life. He wants to be involved in everything. And young Asa, King Asa, saw this. And as he goes to face this vast army, double the size of the army of Israel, he says this, Lord, it's only you who defend the powerless against the mighty. Help us, O Lord, for we rely on you. In your name, we have come against this vast army. Well, he went against them and won a great victory. When you read that story, when you get home, you'll find that there was a lot of soldiers that died, and they ran for their lives. They ran throughout the whole of Israel, and the soldiers had to just go and pick up all the bounty that was left, all the booty that was left for them. Israel was left quite wealthy because of that little account there. If you seek him, he will be found by you. As a young man, I remember looking at my minister and thinking, oh, you know, how I wish I knew God like he knows God. You know, I'd look at some of the members of the church who prayed like Elijah. And I thought, Lord, if only. I realize this, that God is so interested in me, so interested in you, that he listens to every word we utter. Do you believe that? He's interested in not only the big things that we face, but even the little things that we face. Oh, that we bring everything to him. Talk to him like we talk to each other. Like you talk to your brother or your sister. God is interested in the whole of my life. Well, Azariah meeting him after the battle there, the Lord is with you while you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. And if you forsake him, he will forsake you. Oh, man, that message has rung in my ears over the many years I've been a follower of Jesus. God is there all the time, desperate that we seek him so that he can bless us, so that he can be with us. If you forsake him, he will forsake you, says chapter 16. And in 16 and verse 9, it follows this. When God realized that King Asa was now changing, his character was changing, he was beginning to wander away from seeking God like how he used to. God sent another prophet, Hananiah. And Hananiah went to meet King Asa. And this is what Hananiah says, chapter 16, 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9. The eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. Listen to that, eh? You don't realize how much God is working in your life to strengthen you, to encourage you, to build you up, to bless you, to lift you up in every area that you find yourself in. The eyes of the Lord range to and fro throughout the whole earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. Oh, I love it. I love it. Oh, I love it. Well, just to finish Asa's character there. In the 36 years of Asa's reign, Baasa, king of Asa, went up against against Judah. The king of Asa, King Asa took the silver and the gold, and he sent it over to Ben-Hadad, king of Aram. Instead of turning to God, the king of Damascus, he turns to the king of Damascus, and he sends all the gold and all the silver, stripped the gold from the temple, and sends it to Ben-Hadad. Please come and rescue me from Judea, who is attacking me here. Instead of turning to God. That was his first error. The second error, when Hananiah, the prophet, came and said to him, King Asa, the eyes of the Lord range to and fro throughout the earth to strengthen you, to strengthen me. Those whose hearts are fully committed to him. King Asa arrested Hananiah the prophet, threw him in jail because of him being so frank and so open for God to bring the message through him. Oh, sometimes there is persecution. Well, the third error that King Asa made. He was afflicted with his disease in his feet. Through his disease, it was severe. And yet, even then, when the man couldn't walk, he didn't turn to God. He turned to the physicians in the country. God loves it when we come to him. Just with everything. If the kettle didn't boil because a stupid kettle has broken down, take it to the Lord, you know. Take everything to Jesus. Everything. He's interested. He's keen. He's willing to hear our requests. He loves us more than we realize. Well, as a church here in Longbuckby, I long to see our church blessed. You know, I really believe this. And I've said it to Nathan many times. I believe that God has blessed our church. And our church need to be a blessing, not only in Longbuckby, in Daventry, in West Haddon, in the Brinktons. I really believe that as a church, that God wants to establish Longbuckby. It's a strange place. It's out of the way. And yet, when I ask any of you to put up your hand who don't live in Longbuckby, you'll find that most of us will be those from around about rather than from Longbuckby. Why? I believe that's the ministry of this church. And may God just open us to see that. Jane, no? It is Jane, not Leslie. I think we need to throw that open to the other churches, not just us. That everything that we do, we seek to bless other churches as well from here. I believe that's God's heart for us as we reach out. Well, as a church, we struggle in areas. Dear Tim tried to start evangelism and encourage us into evangelism within the church life here at Longbuckby. We need to really see this. Jane just picked that up now, and Jane in her letter, or rather in email, said that she would like it to be maybe an outreach whereby we invite people to these seminars that she's willing to run for us here in the church. Yeah. God knows. He has the answer to our every need. Sometimes we feel that we don't have much to offer. God knows. And he's already made provision for us to meet our every need. Whatever we want to do, whatever we are willing to do, God has met that need in each of us. A church that listens to God acts accordingly in response to the Lord's leading, is spiritually growing and productive, while God's hand of blessing is so evident in the vibrancy of their life, both individual and churches. Oh, may we be those who just want to hear God, obey Him, and do it. And do it. So that not only us are blessed, but those round about us also, the blessing overflows. Well, I just brought a few examples. God uses His Word that is inspired by the Holy Spirit. I often seek to know God and ask God, please, Lord, don't confuse me, I'd say. In my prayer life, Lord, please don't confuse me. I'm so easily confused. Give me Your Word, Lord. And sometimes it might be somebody who's speaking to me and just one word, a phrase, a sentence just suddenly grips me and this is God answering my prayer. And I know it. Sometimes it's a word that comes from the Bible. And I know this is what God is giving me. When I met Celia, the family always cringe when I bring the family in. When I met Celia, I was going back home to Rhodesia, Southern Rhodesia. Apartheid was a strong, strong thing back home. We were all segregated. And I fell in love. And I knew this, that my marriage wouldn't last unless God was in it. And I prayed and I asked the Lord. I remember going to the chapel, and somebody left the Bible open in the chapel, and a verse from Isaiah, it says, "This is the way. Walk in it." Now, if you read that that chapter, it won't mean anything to you. But for me, I had been pleading with the Lord, praying, and that was God's answer to me. 51 years after, I can say, hallelujah. Well, the second thing is, God speaks into our minds. I love that verse that says, we have the mind of Christ. Imagine that, eh? With all my evil thoughts and what have you, yet the Bible says this. If God says it, I believe it. We have the mind of Christ. Yeah? We need to distinguish God's voice among all the voices. And you can only do that by practicing the presence of God, by listening to God, hearing His voice, so that you know that you know when God speaks. you just know. The third thing that I saw there, God uses people to speak to us. In Judges 7, when Gideon spied the enemy, he overheard a Midianite soldier telling another soldier about a dream that he had. And he said this barley loaf came rolling down the hill, and it smashed into the tents of the Midian and destroyed the camp. Immediately, the man, the soldier he was talking to, says this can only be Gideon. God has given him the Midianite camp over to him. Gideon, on hearing this message, with only 300 men and a trumpet, each of them in their hand. They had a clay jar that had a light in it. And they went against the vast army of Midian. The Bible says that God stirred the Midianites so that they turned against each other. They killed each other and they ran for their lives, so that the whole of the army was desecrated because 300 men obeyed God. 300 men. That's all Gideon was allowed by God to go into battle with. What a story. Well, God uses circumstances. In Revelation 3, verse 7, what God opens, no one can shut. What God shuts, no one can open. And may the Lord just seal that on our hearts. If God is calling you, and He opens the doors, don't walk away. Because nobody can shut that door for you. If your marriage is in turmoil, don't walk away. For if God has opened that door, no one will shut it. If you have family problems and your son or your daughter is no longer speaking to you, don't shut that door. If God has opened it, no one can shut it. God uses visible things. In Amos chapter 7, God points to a basket and asks him, "What is this?" Amos knew immediately that God was speaking into his life. The time was ripe for him now to start preaching on God's judgment falling upon Israel. He waited for God's timing. In Jeremiah 18 and verse 1 to 6, God sends Jeremiah to the potter's house. And he goes to the potter's house and he watches the potter as he spins the clay on the wheel. And he watches this pot as suddenly a hole comes in it, or it's misshaped. And the potter breaks the whole pot up and he reforms, reshapes the pot. So as he watched the potter recycling a marred pot into a new and perfect pot, God said, like the clay in the hands of the potter, so are you in my hands. Oh, may we just be willing clay that allow God to formulate us into shape, to smooth us where we need smoothing, that we may be a perfect vessel that brings glory and honor to him. And lastly, God used audible voices. In 1 Samuel 3, God called Eli three times. And he kept going to whoever it was, can't remember now. The main teacher said, when you hear the voice, say, speak, Lord, for your servant heareth. Three times, audibly. And God also speaks through supernatural gifts. That's what we are in today. God has given many gifts. The gifts of prophecy and tongue, the gifts of love, the gifts of help. So many, many spiritual gifts that God has given us. And it's all available. Every gift is available. You won't know your gift unless you are using all the gifts. And then you'll find that in using all the gifts, one gift, two gifts will become dominant in your life. And they'll become your God-given gift. I've seen God use me in miracles, but I haven't got the gift of miracles. I've seen God use me in many, many of those gifts, but it's only in using those gifts that I come to understand the gifts that God has given me, that I become dominant in my life. Service. I've been a preacher for all those years. And yet, if you send me to the kitchen to wash the dishes, I'm as happy as a lark. I love it. I just love it. Well, speaking in tongues, the language that God gives us, a prophetic language, is a wonderful gift. And it's lovely to hear churches praying in tongues and singing in tongues. I went to one church. It was a farmer. He opened up his home and it became a church. And from our college, we traveled down, all of us. And as we got out of the car, there was this sound like angels in the air. And it was the church just singing in tongues beautifully. And then the gift of prophecy. Jesus speaks into our lives today. He speaks even today. In the most, just in closing, I'll bring this. Mr. Yates was a farm, a sheep grower, looked after sheep. And failed on his mortgage. He couldn't pay the mortgage. He didn't have enough. And he was on the verge of losing his farm. He was he lived in Western Texas, USA. And at that stage, when he couldn't afford to pay, had no idea how he was going to do it. Some prospectors, oil prospectors, came to his home, to his farm, and asked for permission if they could prospect on his land. Well, he'd be losing it soon, so he gave them permission, signed the forms that if they found any oil, they will have the rights to sell the oil. They went down 1,000 feet, and they hit a reservoir of oil. that yielded 8,000 barrels a day. Well, 30 years after, that reservoir of oil was yielding 150 barrels of oil a day. The man was sitting on such a wealth of money that would pay his farm over and over again and again, and yet he did not know. Church, we are sitting on God's reservoir. Every gift is available to us. All we got to do is just seek God with all our heart. You want to be a blessing? God has laid on your heart to become a teacher in Sunday school. The blessings are there. The gift is there. Well, you want to be a man of God who prays. The gift is there. God has given that gift. We are sitting on a reservoir of God's gifts. Everything is just going to God's storehouse, that God may be blessed in our lives, that he may be honored, that he may be lifted high above all others. May God just open our eyes to see not what we don't have, but what we already have, because Jesus said to the disciples, wait in Jerusalem until you've been clothed with power from on high. And then you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and to the ends of the earth. Oh, who knows where Long Buckby's influence, where your influence will reach as we just open ourselves, seeking God with all our hearts. Amen.